And now, graduates, church family, it is my honor to address you on something that has weighed heavy on my heart. It's an urgency to pray, and to pray God's way. I want to start with a definition of prayer. From the very earliest prayers that we see in Genesis 4, we see after Adam has been banished from the garden, we see people out of hunger for God cry out for him. It says they called upon the name of the Lord. This hunger is a hunger that's in all of us. It's a hunger for love, for joy, for purpose, for acceptance. It's a hunger that can only be fulfilled in a relationship with God. And we were all made for it. We were all made for a relationship with God. But to define prayer as just a crying out to the Lord would be incomplete. For as Andrew Murray says, prayer is not just a monologue, but a dialogue. And so prayer is a cry out to the Lord with expectation that he will answer. And in Psalm 65, we know that when God's people cry out to him, he answers with awesome and righteous deeds. So what happens when God's people pray God's way? First example, one of my favorite, King Solomon prayed God's way. And after he prayed, fire, symbolizing God's manifest presence, and also literal fire, fell down and consumed the altar. And then God's presence filled the temple, and no one could enter the temple because it was so thick. And then what we read in Acts 2, what were the disciples doing before the Spirit came down? And the outpouring of the Spirit came, and the promise of the Father came, the gift of the Holy Spirit? They were praying. They were praying. They were in constant prayer for 10 days straight because they were hungry for what God had promised. And then again in Acts 4, we see the believers together in one place crying out for boldness and for signs and wonders to bring many to Jesus. God answers and he fills them with boldness, and many more are added to the faith as a result. Another story, many of you are familiar with the Moravians. Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf, since the age of six, had been praying to encounter more of God. 20 years later, his prayer was answered while he was with Minnie in Herrnhut, Germany. They're together in one place, a group of prayer warriors, and God's presence comes. He says that it was like God's presence, his dwelling was with man. That's how thick his manifest presence was in that room. As an example, as a result of this, 600 missionaries went out to the ends of the earth to bring the good news of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Many believe this to be the beginning of the modern mission movement. So, I could keep telling you more and more things. I could tell you many ways in which God answers his people who pray his way. I could tell you of multiple physical and spiritual dead raisings. I could tell you of food multiplication. I could tell you of the sun standing still. If you ask the ladies who pray on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., they will tell you, God answers those who pray God's way. If you ask those who go to the Wednesday night prayer meeting, they'll tell you, God answers those who pray his way. You can ask Dan Seaman, who, through the power of God, was healed. His meniscus was put back together supernaturally. God hears his people when they pray. You can ask those at the NRBA who have prayed many times for rain to stop so they would not be hindered in preaching the good news to students. As a result, we've seen many, many come to know Jesus. Many start their relationship with God. So, we were called to relationship with God. We were called to pray God's way, expect His answer, and encounter His answer to our prayers. But what keeps us away? What keeps us away? What distances us from that? You see, many times we are like the Israelites in Moses' day. We can read in the account in Exodus 19 and 20, though they were welcome to come near, and God wanted to speak directly to them, they said, "No, Moses, you go speak to them, because we're afraid. We're rebellious. We want to hide our sin." And so many of us, out of fear, could be fear, could be rebellion, it could be unbelief, it could be just mere laziness, it could be exhaustion. Maybe it's exhaustion. Maybe we're just trying all on our own strength to come to God in prayer, and we get exhausted and we get burned out and we give up. But God is calling us near. We've been brought near by the blood of Jesus, church family. We've been brought near to the very throne room of God to come to Him in our time of need. The problem is we rarely see that time of need. But I want to tell you today, graduates, church family, there is never a time in your life when you are not in a time of need of God. So how do we fix this problem? How do we fix this problem of distancing ourselves from the one we were made to be in relationship with? Well, first of all, the only way is Jesus. We have to receive Him. And in the words of Peter, he says, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And we see again, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so it starts with a call in the name of Jesus, giving your life to Him. And then as believers, we distance ourselves, don't we? What's the solution for that? Well, our great physician, Jesus, has a prescription for everything. And the prescription for that is, as we see in Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. That's the first part to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Saying, "God, you can take control. You can take control. Show me the areas of my life that I'm trying to take control. That I'm trying to compartmentalize and take control. Show me those parts of my life and come take control." That's why Paul says, be not drunk with wine. Because God doesn't want us to be under the influence or controlled by anything or anyone except for the person of the Holy Spirit living inside us. So graduates, church body, be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Well, first, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Second, you ask. Our Father is a good God. A good father, as we read in Luke chapter 11, who gives good gifts, and the best gift is His Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit without limit. So when we receive Jesus, His Spirit comes and lives inside us at that moment that we receive Him and give our lives to Him. But as we release control to the Holy Spirit, like rivers of living water, He fills all those areas of our life. And we begin to walk and to talk and to love and to act like Jesus. We begin to become houses of prayer for the nations. And corporately, we need each other for this. We can't do this on our own, church. We need to commit to meeting together for prayer. Meeting together for prayer, for God to fill us with His Spirit, for God to make this church His dwelling place, and for God to give us boldness to go out and share His truth with a world that needs to hear it. So I want to just end with something that God's laid on my heart. And I am just so grateful for the prayer ministries at our church. I'm so grateful for the women that meet at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. And any ladies that would like to meet them, they meet in what was once called the man cave. The back room back there at the annex, or as some would call the office, as me. I don't really call it the annex, but that's a cool word. I really appreciate everyone that meets on Wednesday for prayer. They just come together just for prayer. That's awesome. I wanted to reinstate something that we used to do in a prayer ministry that we used to have at this church. And so, on every Sunday morning, throughout the summer, we are going to be meeting here. Anybody that wants to join me, I'll be meeting here from 7:30 to 8 for prayer. And we're going to pray that God would take control of us by his Spirit. We're going to pray that God would take control of our service and that he would be exalted and that people would be healed and come to Jesus. And we're going to pray for our community, that God would give us a heart for our community to go out. And we're going to pray for the nations. So whatever God lays in our heart, we're just going to pray. But those main things, praying for him to fill us individually, to fill us corporately, and to give us boldness to go out and share the truth of Jesus. One last thing I want to leave with you, us, an encouragement that God's been giving me. And while I was praying with a group of believers, which is often how God speaks to me, I was playing with a group of believers, and then this phrase came to mind. And as I tested it, I knew it was from him. It said, "Come early, come often, come late." And God was encouraging me to come always to him in prayer. To come early, because I need to dedicate my life to him. I need to dedicate every day to him, because I can't do it without him. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Number two, come often. I need him many times during the day. Every second of the day, I need his strength. And then three, come late. Because the enemy would like us to believe that, oh, it's too late to come to him today. I've already wasted half my day. Come early, come often, come late. And don't despise small beginnings. As you pursue praying under the leadership of God's Spirit and praying God's way, do not despise the small beginnings. But as you're faithful in little, God will give you an even more. I'm really excited for you graduates. I'm excited for us, church body, as we grow in our relationship with God through prayer under the control of his Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can call on your name at any time, and you hear us. You hear us when we call, God. And you delight to give us good gifts. The best gift is the gift of yourself, of knowing you. Jesus, you are sent by the Father that we might have eternal life. And that's to know you, God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. I pray right now that you would convict our hearts, that you would show us right now the places in our lives that we are not allowing you to take control, that you would lead us to repentance, God, and to receiving your control over those areas of our lives, because only then will we receive what we were made for, deep, close, intimate communion with our dearest love, Jesus. With you, our precious, dear Father, and with our dear friend, Holy Spirit. So I pray that you would convict hearts. I pray that you would descend on this place, God. That we would meet you, that we would meet you in your manifest presence. And that we would be changed. We would become so much in love with you that we can't stop telling others of what we've seen and heard. Pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.